Welcome to the Deep Dive. Our custom mission for you today is pretty straightforward. We're diving deep into the sometimes harsh reality of ransomware preparedness. We're looking specifically at disaster recovery drills, using some key sources to get right to the heart of the matter. We want to give you that shortcut to being really informed, cutting through the noise. And look, the problem we're talking about is huge. You, listening, you've likely done the right things. You've probably invested, significant money. For many small and mid-sized businesses, that's often somewhere between, say, $50,000 and $250,000. Real money into backup systems, business continuity plans. The policies are probably written up nice, the budget's spent. Okay? But then, imagine it's 3 a.m. Friday morning, and bam, your systems are encrypted. You kick off the recovery process. What actually happens then?
Well, what happens next, based on frankly, overwhelming evidence in our source material, is often a pretty shocking failure. Despite that big investment you just mentioned, host, a staggering 73% of businesses find out their backup systems just don't work when they actually try to restore from them during a real ransomware attack.
Hold on. 73%. That can't be right. 73.
It's a huge number.
So 3 out of 4 companies that spent potentially 6 figures on this stuff find themselves completely exposed. Right when they need it most.
That's the reality the data points to. The investment's there, sure, but the validated capability, often missing.
Okay, so that gap, that 73% failure rate, that's what we mean by resilience debt. That's what we need to tackle today.
Exactly right. We're here to unpack the sometimes catastrophic consequences of that failure rate, and more importantly, show how you can move from just hoping your documents are right to having a validated, genuine capability. And the absolute key to getting that validation, it's a systematic, efficient testing program, specifically something called the 90-minute drill.
Right. Okay. Let's start by unpacking the sheer cost of these untested assumptions. We really have to begin with the costs, because relying on a plan that's purely theoretical, it just seems to set off this devastating chain reaction, a cascade of failures that actually often dwarfs the ransom payment itself.
Yeah, think about it like this. When recovery plans aren't tested under real pressure, you find out, during the crisis, that the restore takes 10 times longer than you budgeted for. Or, you suddenly realize critical apps, maybe the ones that generate revenue, weren't even in the backup scope. Or, and this is a classic one we see in the sources, the recovery procedures themselves. They reference servers or systems that were shut down years ago. They don't even exist anymore.
And that's where the immediate financial pain of those little procedural mistakes becomes almost, impossible to bear. Those gaps, a missed application, a wrong server name in a script, maybe not being able to find the right password, they instantly turn what should be a, say, 4-hour recovery window into a massive, potentially 14-day business shutdown.
14 days. And for mid-sized businesses, the financial hit from that is just staggering. When you look at the total financial damage, the sources show average lost revenue around $274,000, productivity losses about $462,000. And then there's the long-term reputation damage, which can easily hit, $847,000 or more. It just spirals upwards very quickly.
Is there like one big number that captures the total hit?
There is. If we need one figure to really summarize the total cost of being unprepared, it's probably this. IBM's 2024 report. It found the average total cost of a ransomware attack hit an eye-watering $5.13 million for companies with, say, 500 to 1,000 employees.
$5 million. Wow.
But here's the really crucial detail, the one that often gets lost in the headlines about the ransom itself. Nearly half of that $5.13 million, 47%, it didn't come from paying the ransom. No, it came from business disruption, lost productivity, all that time spent scrambling.
So the biggest financial hit isn't actually the cyber criminal demanding Bitcoin.
Not usually, no.
It's the cost of your own downtime, trying to fix a recovery plan that, that you never actually validated beforehand.
Precisely. And that reality just highlights the danger of what you could call false security.
Right. Your backup system gives you that nice green check mark every morning. Status. Successful. You feel good. You feel confident.
Yeah, you feel covered.
But what's the real value of that confidence if, without actually validating it, it just evaporates the second you need it?
And that's exactly why 41% of organizations, according to the data, discover these critical recovery gaps only when they're in the middle of a real high-stakes incident.
It's like waiting until your house is actually on fire to check if the extinguisher works.
Yeah. It's pretty much an indefensible position in today's world for modern risk management.
Okay, I think we can definitely agree that level of risk is just not acceptable. But you mentioned good news earlier. Let's pivot to that. The data proves testing works, right? You said organizations that consistently test their recovery, they get back online much faster.
Much, much faster. It's dramatic. They recover 14 times faster on average, and with 8 times lower total costs compared to organizations that never test. They're just operating on assumptions.
Okay, wait. 14 times faster. That almost sounds too good to be true.
Mm.
But what does that mean in human terms? That 73% failure rate must mean people working crazy hours, staff burnout, huge customer frustration for weeks on end.
Right. Absolutely. And we can put specific numbers on that recovery speed difference. They're quite stark. Ponomon Institute research cited in our sources, it reveals that organizations without regular testing face an average recovery time of 297 hours.
297 hours. That's almost 12 and a half days. 12 days of chaos, basically.
Total or near total operational paralysis. In today's economy, like you said, that can be fatal.
Okay, so compare that. What about the ones who do test regularly?
Ah, well, their average recovery time drops dramatically down to just 12 hours.
12 hours versus 12 days.
It's a 96% reduction in downtime. That's the difference between, you know, catastrophic failure and maybe a really bad weekend that's manageable.
So, if the ROI is that clear, 96% less downtime, why are companies still skipping this? We need to connect this back to, you know, your reality listening out there. Why avoid testing? What are the barriers?
Yeah, the sources are pretty clear on the top barriers, and honestly, they're very relatable. 2/3 of decision makers, about 67%, they say they're just too busy with daily operations. Sound familiar?
Oh yeah, always too busy.
Then over half, 52%, express real concern about disrupting business systems if they test. They're worried it'll break something.
And the last one.
And nearly half, 48%, just flat out admit they lack a clear, repeatable testing methodology. They don't really know how to test effectively without causing chaos.
Okay, so it sounds like testing is often seen as this huge, disruptive, maybe multi-day event that's just a massive headache.
Precisely. And that's why the traditional approach, you know, the big all-encompassing, let's block out the whole weekend kind of test, it often fails to even get scheduled or just gets postponed indefinitely. It's seen as too disruptive for already busy teams.
So the solution needs structure, but also feasibility.
Exactly. And that leads us to the optimal approach highlighted in the materials. The systematic, focused 90-minute drill. It's short enough to actually fit into a busy calendar, but it's long enough to provide genuine, valuable validation.
Okay, let's shift focus then to the solution itself. What exactly is a DR drill in this specific context? We know it's not just a chat, right? Not a tabletop exercise where you just talk strategy.
No, tabletops are useful for thinking through policy and roles, absolutely. But the drill. The drill is where the rubber really hits the road.
Meaning
it's hands-on execution. It forces your team to actually click the buttons, type the commands, watch the systems restore, hopefully all within a controlled, safe environment. The sources synthesize this down to 6 critical elements that make these drills truly effective validation exercises, not just, you know, checking a box.
6 elements. Okay, can we group those?
Yeah, we can group them into sort of 3 phases: planning, execution, and review. Makes it easier to track. So first, in the planning phase, you absolutely need realistic scenario development. You've got to simulate authentic attack patterns. That includes tricky stuff, like complications where maybe you're locked out of your main password system or something. Target systems with real business impact.
Okay, realistic scenario. What else planning?
You also need clear, documented success criteria defined before you start. This means knowing your target recovery time objectives, RTOs, which dictate how quickly systems must be back, and your recovery point objectives, RPOs, which define how much data loss is, well, tolerable for each system.
Got it. Clear measurements are absolutely vital. If you don't define success up front, you can't really measure failure, can you?
You really can't. Okay, next phase, execution. This demands hands-on execution. This is where you uncover those crucial practical gaps, like finding old server names buried in restore scripts, or discovering credentials that worked fine last week don't work when your main Active Directory is offline.
Right, the gotchas. And this has to be safe, obviously.
Absolutely critical. It must happen in a safe testing environment, completely isolated, zero chance of impacting your live production systems. That's non-negotiable.
And because these are quick, focused drills, 90 minutes, the documentation part has to be really efficient, right? You can't spend hours writing reports.
It does. Which brings us neatly to the final phase, review. You need structured observation and documentation. Ideally, dedicated observers who are just tracking execution times and systematically logging every single gap found. No judgment, just facts.
And then the most important part, I imagine.
Absolutely, the most crucial step. post-drill analysis and remediation. You review the results immediately after the drill. You assign specific responsibility for fixing every identified gap. And critically, you ensure those fixes are actually deployed and verified before the next drill cycle. Close the loop.
Okay, so by systematically committing to just 90 minutes, maybe quarterly, organizations can test maybe 4 critical scenarios each year. That consistency builds muscle memory, right? It ensures that when a real attack hits, the team isn't panicking. They're defaulting to a procedure they've practiced and validated.
That's the goal. Now, let's make this really concrete. Let's look at 3 specific drill scenarios that our sources highlight because they consistently reveal the most expensive, time-consuming gaps. These are the real-world aha moments organizations get from just 90 minutes of focus testing.
Okay, hit me. What's the first one?
Let's start with drill #1, primary database recovery. This is fundamental. Validating your core data restoration. The scenario might be, your main accounting database is encrypted. Your RTO is set at 4 hours. Needs to be back online fast. Now, we saw a case study of a professional services firm in Irvine, California. They ran this exact drill. Their daily backup reports, all green, showed successful for 3 months straight.
It's good so far.
Yeah, but during the 90-minute drill, when they actually tried to restore, they discovered the backup files themselves were completely corrupted. Useless. Turned out there was a silent configuration error in their storage system introduced 3 months earlier that wasn't being caught by the basic success check.
Oh, that's horrifying. So they were blindly trusting corrupted data backups.
For months. They only found it because they did the hands-on drill. They avoided, well, catastrophic data loss. And when you calculate the ROI on that 90 minutes, fixing that silent gap prevented what they estimated would have been a 192-hour outage if it happened for real. That represents a staggering 57,600% return on time invested in that single test. 90 minutes literally saved the business.
57,000% ROI.
Okay,
that's compelling. What's next? Let's look at one that tests the infrastructure more.
Right. Drill #2. Complete office offline scenario. This one simulates a worst case scenario. All systems in your primary office are gone, encrypted, destroyed, whatever. Recovery has to happen using only remote access, maybe cloud resources. So what did companies discover running this?
I bet it wasn't always smooth sailing.
Not at all. A 45-employee manufacturing company ran this drill. They, like many, assumed, okay, if the office is down, we'll just send everyone home to work remotely. What they discovered during the drill was a huge bottleneck they hadn't considered. Their standard business internet plan only allowed for 10 simultaneous VPN connections, max.
Only 10? For 45 employees?
Exactly, meaning only about 22% of their staff could actually connect and work remotely during a crisis. It would have crippled their productivity, maybe their ability to recover at all.
Wow, that's a massive finding. And it wasn't even a technical failure of the backup. It was a business process or infrastructure limit.
Precisely.
Yeah.
A constraint they only found because they tried to execute the plan remotely under simulated pressure. So the fix was simple. They upgraded their internet service, maybe tweaked their cloud delivery. Later, when they did face an unrelated outage, they maintained 85% productivity because people could actually connect. That protected somewhere between, estimate was $445,000 and $890,000 in lost revenue. Huge impact from that drill finding.
Okay, powerful stuff. And the third scenario you mentioned, you said it addresses maybe the most terrifying part, losing the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah. Drill #4. Credential and authentication recovery. That's a nasty one. Scenario. Your domain controllers, your Active Directory, basically your authentication systems, are encrypted or offline. Recovery absolutely depends on getting basic authentication services back online first. The RTO for this is usually very short, maybe 2 hours.
And what goes wrong here?
This scenario is almost designed to trigger dependency failures. We saw a case with a financial services firm. They ran this drill and uncovered a perfect, deadly circular dependency. All their critical offline recovery credentials, the passwords they needed to start the restore, they were stored securely in a password manager.
Okay, sounds good.
But the master credentials for the password manager itself were saved on the now encrypted network drive.
Oh no. So they couldn't get the recovery keys because the key to the recovery keys was locked behind the ransomware wall they were trying to break through.
Exactly. It sounds like a cartoon plot, right? The key to the safe is locked inside the safe. But it happens.
So what's the common thread here? In all these failures, the corrupted backups, the VPN limit, the locked up passwords, it seems to be assuming that just because you intended for something to work,
that it actually will work under pressure. The common thread is simply the lack of validation and sometimes the lack of a really simple physical failsafe.
So how did that financial firm fix the password problem?
Their fix was brilliantly simple, actually. Low tech. They implemented a physical, tamper-evident sealed document containing only the most critical break glass credentials, and they stored it securely off-site, like in a 247 accessible bank safe deposit box. That simple physical step prevented what could have been an 18-hour delay right at the start of a real recovery incident. Just couldn't get started.
Right. It hammers home the point.
Yeah.
The real value isn't just running the drill. It's finding the gaps and then the crucial follow-through. The post-drill analysis and remediation, that fixing part, is what transforms preparedness from just, you know, a hopeful statement in a binder into actual validated confidence you can rely on.
Absolutely. And if we connect this back to the bigger picture for you listening, the long-term goal here isn't just finding problems. It's reaching a state of maturity where your regular quarterly 90-minute drills start generating fewer and fewer surprises. Your recovery timing consistently hits your RTO targets. That level of maturity built through practice is what allows an organization to recover from a genuine ransomware attack with minimal, truly manageable business disruption, not chaos.
But there's a sense of urgency here too, isn't there? The sources seem to suggest the window for doing this methodically without huge pressure might be closing.
Yeah, there's a strong warning in the material about delaying testing. Pushing it off beyond, say, 2025 essentially creates what they call resilience debt.
Meaning
you're just pushing the pain down the road. You're forcing your future self, your future organization, into urgent, high pressure, much more expensive remediation later on.
Mm.
Instead of making these gradual, lower cost improvements through testing now, the longer you wait, the bigger the debt, the harder and more expensive that eventual recovery will inevitably be.
Which brings us to maybe a final thought for you to consider.
The difference between just hoping you're ready and actually knowing you're ready, it comes down to validation through practice, through these drills. Yet sometimes organizations treat drills almost like a pass-fail exam they want to avoid. They fear that finding gaps makes them look unprepared.
They don't want to fail the test.
But the successful organizations, the ones recovering in 12 hours instead of nearly 300, they have a totally different mindset. They actually celebrate discovering gaps during controlled testing. They see every gap found in a drill as a gift.
A gift? Wow.
Because the only alternative is discovering that silent storage corruption or that circular credential dependency or that VPN limit during a live high-stakes incident. When the financial damage, the reputational hit, the customer impact, it's all absolutely inevitable at that point. Finding it in a drill prevents that future pain.
So wrapping up for you, the listener, the real question isn't if ransomware might eventually target you. It's becoming almost a certainty for many. The question is when you'll discover whether your recovery capabilities actually work. Will it be during a controlled, relatively simple 90-minute drill where the cost is just a few hours of focus time? Or will it be during an actual attack when the cost is potentially millions in disruption, lost revenue, and maybe even the survival of the business? Choose validation. Choose practice. Don't rely on hope.